This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is Wednesday. I like Wednesday. It's not as good as Thursday, which is coming up tomorrow.
Have you heard, we were talking about the Doobie Brothers and giving away tickets. Not now. Be careful.
Not yet.
Don't call in. Not yet.
Down.
But Charlie Puth, the singer, does an incredible Michael McDonald impression. Incredible.
Matt Pajeski thinks he does a good one, but it's not. He did it during the break.
Can I
it's
hear
not,
it?
It's not meant for air either.
Oh, come on. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. You know the song Ride Like the Wind by Christopher Cross?
Okay.
No, and he sings back up on that.
Uh-huh.
He goes, Michael McDonald sings something like, such a long way to go. It's like that. It's just like that.
Terrible.
Wait, can you do that one more time? Can you play that back?
Such a long way to go.
You think that sounds like Michael?
Yeah, it does. If not better, okay. Really.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was good.
What's going on in here? Amy Mark scores Chris Ranji. Tom is joining us from, I guess, Kirkwood or somewhere, St. Louis. I don't know. Tom, hey, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing good. I wish you two would have asked Scott Jennings about January 6th. It'd be interesting to hear his spin on that. I mean, this guy wouldn't make a warrant on major carriage, but quit having him on.
Oh, well, it was our first
Tom, appreciate the call. First time we've had him.
Yeah.
Couldn't really understand all of the call, but I don't think he was happy that we had Scott Jennings.
He sounded
on.
A little bit underwater, a little bit.
Well, like, I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay. No, I appreciate the call, and here's the thing. A little something for everyone.
That's this, yeah. That's what.
That's
yeah.
The slogan of our show is Chris and Amy, a little something for everyone.
The reviews have been mixed. On the Scott Jennings appearance, there's one from Gene who says, tell Scott his favorite fan says hello.
Oh.
He keeps those CNN Dems in line as they melt down. The next text says, get this fool off the air. So
I would say that
they're all over.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow is Thursday, which means we have Major Garrett because, you know, he's great. We like national. We have local. A little something for everyone.
That's the whole point. And
the whole point of our show.
Our guy on Monday, Chris Saliza, he's with us every Monday.
Yeah.
He tweeted about Scott Jennings yesterday and said that, I'll have to find the tweet, but said that they should give him his own show. And he said people who love him would watch, people who hate him would watch.
Mm-hmm.
The point is people would watch. That's what Chris said about Scott Jennings, whether or not you agree. Also, a texter wants us to let you know that with the Doobie Brothers concert at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in September, the Coral Reefer Band is also going to be playing. That's Jimmy Buffett's band.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought he was Margaritaville. Wait, what? Jimmy Buffett and the Lovers or something.
I don't know.
The Coral Reefer
Coral
Band?
Coral Reefer Band. That's what this says.
There you go.
So maybe it's just the band?
Okay.
Right?
Anyway.
But we're going to be giving away tickets before the show is over. You need to know that.
All right. So we were asking, too, about Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey suing Starbucks over race-based hiring. And even setting aside that specific case, he has been taking on some of the more national/culture war issues that are talked about on cable news. And what we want to know is, are you glad he's taking on these topics, or do you wish that his focus was a bit more Missouri forward? So when you're looking at the state of Missouri and the issues that it's facing currently, you know, we obviously know the Westlake landfill should be the biggest story going on right now. We have the HBO documentary called it, a nuclear home front. We've got a huge issue here with a smoldering fire, a landfill where nuclear waste was carelessly deposited, people getting sick, people who grew up near Coldwater Creek. That could be something that you could bring more focus on alongside Josh Hawley. We had someone call earlier about the gaming terminals, the lottery gaming terminals, and those need to be checked out. So we want to know, what would you prefer the Attorney General focus on, or do you like the fact that he's focusing on these bigger issues? Like I said, with Starbucks, that case is, if you look at it in a vacuum outside of the Costco issue or China, the lawsuit against China, I don't know what's going to come out of this. What Andrew Bailey does have to do is provide evidence that Starbucks was actively discriminating in its hiring processes. We know that quotas are illegal. You can't have straight up quotas. Starbucks did have some aspirational goals as far as who they're hiring. And I thought this might be problematic. It was tied into bonuses and pay if they were able to hit those goals. So it might come down to semantics. It might come down to how they hire. It might come down to how many people were they turning down who were male or white or both. So I don't know. He's going to have to provide evidence, but that remains to be seen.
And it's also pertinent to pay attention to what happened in Florida, where their attorney general also went after Starbucks and had the Florida Commission on Human Relations look into this very same matter. They came back and said that they didn't find anything. That they didn't find anything that was wrong, even though she is continuing to pursue it. She's going to try other legal means. But, I mean, to me, he's going to have to prove to me that white people go in for a job at Starbucks and don't get it because they're hiring somebody else who's black. Or hiring somebody who is, Native American or whatever. Like, you're going to have to prove that to me, that there are all these people who can't get jobs because of this rule that Starbucks has.
And we talk so much about loopholes or gaming the system. Whenever you're talking about something like hiring practices after the Supreme Court struck down affirmative action, saying that it violated the 14th Amendment, are there going to be workarounds? Are there ways that you can change the language? Absolutely. So you have to look at each university. You have to look at each business. You also can't conflate maybe how a business talks about its policies to the public and actually breaking the law. For instance, after 2020, and it was a pretty divisive, contentious time, Starbucks said, we're having an open bathroom policy, right? Anybody can come in, anybody can use the bathroom. Not to have that policy is discriminatory or could be racist and so forth. So we have our open bathroom policy. And that's the way they swung after 2020. Well, we know this year they've reversed that and said, this is not something that we can do. We need to keep our bathrooms and tables for paying customers. But that's not illegal. Neither of those things are illegal. That's just a private company adjusting its policy. So he is going to have to prove that the illegality of some of their hiring practices versus just not liking a statement that they've made.
Also, I don't know, maybe this is me and maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I would just like to maybe tackle some issues that really do affect a lot of people. This to me is not, it just seems like a giant waste of time and Missouri taxpayer money to be doing this. Is it because it, in my opinion, the way this appears to me is this appears to be performative. That it's a popular thing right now to go after any initiative that's DEI or appears to be DEI. So he's going to jump on top of that and hopefully get the attention of somebody on the national stage where it could further his career. That's my read on it. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way it looks to me. Worry about Missouri. Like, worry about things that actually affect people in the state, because we have our own problems.
We definitely
do. So let's work on Missouri here.
We definitely have our own problems. And I kind of wish some of the issues that the attorney general is tackling would look a bit more like our state auditor, Scott Fitzpatrick, because that's so, yeah. He has to audit the state of Missouri.
He's looking at the city. He's looking at the county. Those all impact us.
And that makes me feel like local government is, or I should say the state government, right, is looking out for Missouri and saying, hey, how are your taxpayers, your tax dollars being used? What about the St. Louis public school system? What's going on here? We need to audit them. Or, you know, the St. Louis County with the prosecutor's office. We need to look at what's going on. So I like the fact that we actually have an auditor now, because it was not always this way. We have an auditor who's doing work, and I do wish that local focus of an auditor's office, that the AG's office looked a bit more like that.
That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Visit with us, would you? 314-436-7900. At some point, we're going to give away those Doobie Brothers tickets. You'll have to be listening for your opportunity and the cue to win. You got to be listening for that. You can't just call in and thinking you're going to get tickets without waiting first. Calm down. We'll get to it. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. This is Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Christopher Cross Lady in Red?
Yes. No. That's Krista Berg.
Krista Berg.
Wait, Krista Berg or Chris?
DaBerg.
DaBerg.
Yes.
Is it not Lady in Red, but I lost it. Christopher Cross sailing. That him?
And Ride Like the Wind.
Okay.
Never be the
same.
We
should do this for the next 20 minutes.
Let's do it. I'd rather just guess music than anything else.
Who sings that song? Doobie doobie doo. Doo 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 doobie doo.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
No, the Doobie Brothers.
Oh. I thought it was doobie doobie doo.
Those are the Bud Ice Penguins.
Nope, that was Frank Sinatra. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji, check in with us, 314-436-7900. So you heard after the Super Bowl, or actually it was leading up to the Super Bowl, it was the MVP announcement. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills became the most valuable player. And this is what he had to say. This is what Josh Allen had to say on stage. And it was kind of an adorable moment. And there's a follow-up to it that you need to hear.
This is Josh Allen,
yes.
And I know this is an individual award and it says most valuable player on it, but I think it's derived from team success. And I love my team. D-Doc, thank you for presenting. I really appreciate it. We got such a great locker room in Buffalo. And it takes everybody from the equipment staff to the training room to the strength staff to Slick Rick in the mail room to the cafeteria upstairs. Like it truly takes everybody to have team success, and I'm so fortunate to be a part of a great organization.
Okay, so he mentioned Slick Rick, and people started talking about Slick Rick, like, who is the Slick Rick fella who is in the
mail room?
Well, Slick Rick got interviewed yesterday about this, and I have to tell you, I think it's the most adorable thing.
I was mentioned. I said, if Josh doesn't get MVP, I'm going to cry. I said, I'm going to cry because he deserves it. I mean, he's that important to our team. So basically, when I was watching the awards, when he went on stage, you know, everything, I was happy that he had won it. And it went from joyful to crying because when he mentioned my name, I just broke down.
I broke down because I'm just an average person. I mean, but when he mentioned my name, it was like, oh my God, he just mentioned my name on national television, you know? So it was like, I was crying. Then I started getting phone calls from friends, and I was crying on the phone to them. It's still like a dream.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
It's just the best. Just this guy who's, you know, works in the mailroom. Mm-hmm. Probably has a pretty simple thing going on, and then you're not. I will say this: if you get your name in the paper or something, or you know your name's mentioned anywhere on the news, and you're not used to it, it's like a wow.
Yeah.
And then to have Josh Allen in front of all those people just mention you, and everybody go, "Who is Slick Rick with all this interest?" And then it just, I would imagine that would be really affecting. Well, I think it was a really, really sweet moment.
And it's so much more than just the fact that obviously Josh Allen knows Slick Rick, maybe says hi to Slick Rick, has a good, you know, relationship with him.
Remembers him.
In that moment of him winning that award and of him, Josh Allen, thinking, what makes this organization click day in and day out? In that moment of elation and thinking of your teammates, that Slick Rick was right up there, like top of mind, which means it's not just that Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Bills, knows Slick Rick's name. It's that he thinks about
him. He was thinking about him.
He sees him as a major contributor to the organization. If he doesn't, you're not bringing up his name. He's like, no, this guy helps things run. And so it's acknowledgement of the work that he does. I think that's just incredible.
Well, now let's go back to the question that we discussed on Friday. Would you rather have a really nice guy who's your quarterback or a butthole quarterback who's winning Super Bowls? I'm going to take the butthole.
Should we? Well, you mean as a quarterback?
The butthole quarterback, yeah.
I think that should be.
Clipping it.
I wish you would.
I think that should be our Twitter poll today, @ Chris Amy KMOX.
Did we ask that last week? I thought we were going to.
Did we?
I don't know. I'm having too much fun.
I'm going to take the butthole. Whoa, come on. Hey, this is KMOX. You know what? Do you have any idea what you're doing to Robert Hyland right now? This is such an adorable thing. I love it. But I would still rather have the guy who's just a giant jerk who wins Super Bowls for me. But it is nice that Josh Allen is nice.
I don't know that we put this up as a Twitter poll. I don't think we did.
If we haven't, we'll do it.
If we have,
you know, we might do it anyway.
We did, like with coworkers. Would you rather have a coworker who's nice?
Oh, that's right.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Totally different.
Okay, yeah, this
is quarterback
different.
For this winning is different. The Super Bowl.
So follow us on Twitter @ Chris Amy KMOX so you can vote in that Twitter poll. Also, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
So there's been speculation about his future, if he's going to retire, if he's going to keep playing. If you saw the way he played in the Super Bowl when they were down by 3 scores, he was just mailing it in. So you might think, he wants to be done. Here's what he had to say on the matter.
It's just a tough reality. And, you know, I think I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it. And I'm fully here for them. And I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
What was he referring to that was a tough reality? The decision to continue or not? At the very beginning, he said it's a tough reality.
Maybe it's trying to figure it out. That was from the New Heights podcast with his brother Jason Kelce.
After the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes had said, like, Travis Kelce has a lot of football left in him.
Yeah, and I'm almost positive Kelce last week, leading up to the game, said that he thinks he could play another 5 years. So I don't know if he's going to play or not. But it's really a question of, is Taylor, once they get married, is he going to, is she going to try and talk him out of it like Giselle had to do with Tom Brady?
I don't know, but do you think that if he had proposed after the Super Bowl loss, Taylor Swift would have felt sorry for him? Because he would have been all teary-eyed and sad. And then she's like, I can't also say no.
He would really have lifted her spirits after she got booed.
She got booed because she's the biggest, most high-profile Chiefs fan, and that stadium was overwhelmingly Eagles fans. Eagles fans booed Santa Claus.
Also, remember the movie, and because you're talking about him proposing after a loss. I don't think you can. You can't propose after
a
loss.
It's kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a horrible day, but I married you, so
you
consolation
can't,
prize.
After a championship, maybe. The movie Fever Pitch that they filmed part here.
Yep. With Fox Sports Midwest cameras.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have their equipment here, and Drew Barrymore had to get ready on the way here.
Did they get engaged on the field, or did they just hug and kiss? I can't remember what
it
was.
I think they just kissed.
But I do know, and I think most people know this, but if you don't, the... The assumption was that the Red Sox were going to lose that World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And they still planned the whole movie thinking the Red Sox were going to lose the World Series. And they ended up winning. So the on-field stuff
was
that
real.
They filmed, it was all totally real.
And like I said, literally the Hollywood production company had to use a Fox.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Midwest Camera said, hey, can we use one to film this movie?
I remember watching the aftermath, people on the field milling about, and I said, is that Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon? Why
really?
Are they? Yeah, why are
oh
they down
gosh,
there? I didn't know
so
they were
funny.
Filming.
That's hilarious.
Had no idea. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to the mayor of Granite City, Mike Parkinson, about Donald Trump's proposal of steel tariffs for foreign nations and how that will affect Granite City and domestic steel. Mike Parkinson, the mayor of GC, is next. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX. Current President Trump is planning to impose a 25% tariff on all steel and aluminum imports that come into the United States with zero exceptions, zero exemptions. And to talk about how that is going to affect the domestic steel industry, in particular here in the St. Louis area, is Mike Parkinson, the mayor of Granite City, with us on KMOX. Mayor Parkinson, good to talk to you.
You too, Chris. Chris and Amy, how are you guys?
So we are doing okay. So when you hear this, the 25% tariff, which was discussed on Monday, what do you think? How will it end up affecting U.S. steel in Granite City?
Well, I think it's a multifaceted approach, right? The tariffs have done well. I think they can help production of steel in the United States. Trump had put 25% tariffs and 10% on aluminum in 2018 previously, and it did help for a while. You know, those imports fell by 10.2 million tons or 27% between 2017, the year before the tariffs went into effect the first time. You know, but they really, after 2020 as a pandemic, after the pandemic, you know, that cut the demand for steel greatly. And while it's never really come back from the levels we saw of production and sales before 2017. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air. I think that getting more people to buy steel manufactured in the U.S. with tariffs is great, but we also have to worry about what that's going to do to, you know, automobile costs from that are being imported. I think one of Trump's ideas is really to cut the loopholes out so that people can't ship steel from, you know, steel that's not quite finished to, you know, from China to Canada or Brazil, which are the two leading importers of steel in the United States. I think that the closing the loophole where China would send almost finished steel to those areas, they would then finish the steel here and then import it in the United States as non China steel where tariffs were before. I think closing those loopholes are great. I think keeping a lot of cheap steel dumped on our soil is great. But you know, this is a tricky thing because you're now talking about some of our allies in Canada, and you know, we don't know what they're going to do on the tail end of this and increase tariffs on things that we're exporting as well. So I think he's on the right track that it needs to be a fair balance of trade. But I think this one will be a great case study. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the United States does get most of its steel from Canada, Brazil, and Mexico. China, I think, has fallen down to 10th on the list with like just over 1% of the steel coming from China. But are you saying one of the loopholes is that unfinished steel is coming from China to Canada, and then we get it from Canada? Is that?
Well, I used China as an example, okay. But yeah, there is a loophole in there that the president has talked about, in that you know, they kind of game the system. Some countries import semi-finished steel, make it into slightly more finished product, and then ship that in the United States to skirt the tariffs on certain countries. So, I mean, that is one loophole that he's trying to change, and I think that is a good one. And again, I think that, you know, fair tariffs is a good idea. When we're trying to export our steel and we're not getting a fair deal with these other countries, you know, and they're putting tariffs on our imports in their countries higher than what they're giving back is not a fair deal. So I you know, like I said, I do think he's on the right track. I think that we do have to be cautious of, you know, killing the American citizens on the cost of products that are imported from other countries that may get into a tariff war.
Yeah, I think the idea would be, okay, well, we're just going to and generally speaking, we're going to promote buying American-made stuff. But that ends up really trickling down to people who want to pay less for things around the country. You're going to want to pay less for as much as you possibly can, get as many deals as possible. So this would increase your cost. What sort of, I guess, concerns are you getting from, if any, are you getting from people who work at U.S. Steel and Granite or from the union?
Well, you know, I think the folks that I've talked to across the street all believe the tariffs are good. You know, they're happy. I think that the deal with Nippon has been stopped for now, at least. You know, I think that they feel that the best interest for them is having a company that doesn't exist with Dave Burritt. You know, Dave Burritt doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that really wants to help the workers here. So I think that, you know, we saw some language that if another buyer came in, Dave Burritt wouldn't be in the picture. You know, the amount of money that Dave Burritt would make on this deal certainly gives the impression that he doesn't really care that much about, you know, the United States or production in the United States, and more about how much this deal is worth.
And just to clarify, Burritt is the CEO of U.S. Steel right now.
Yes.
Is there?
So I think that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting from the employees over there. That you know, they feel like Dave Bird is just that guy that's not going to do much for them here. So I think they're looking for help from the president, and you know, maybe even coming back here and getting him to look at this plan as a viable option and getting people back to work here. And if the tariffs help that, then this is great.
Is there a concern that if the price of steel goes up with production being, you know, using domestic steel, that the production of in industries that rely on steel, that production level would just go down to balance out the sheets? Like, they won't be producing at the same amount because it's going to cost more.
Yeah, you know, I think that is one of the concerns. And the other concern is just if we place all these tariffs on foreign steel and we're relying on just the U.S. companies that produce it, will they raise their prices as well because they can make better margins now that they don't have as much competition? So, you know, that's a concern as well. But, you know, when you look at what we're using steel for in the United States with building materials, bridges, infrastructure, cars, ships, trains, machinery, appliances, electronics, all these things that we use steel for in the United States, there is a big concern that, you know, without fair competition, you know, those prices could increase. But, you know, we want the fair competition to be good for Americans and American companies and for workers in America and to have things like revenue sharing. You know, but to include the working people in these conversations when we're talking about, you know, the overall profitability of a company. And again, you know, the message I'm getting from my constituents over here is Dave Burt's not that guy. And it might just be time for the company to look a different direction from him and where he's led this company into this mess to begin with.
This might be getting into the steel weeds, so to speak, but I know, like, there's different kinds of steel, and food equipment manufacturers, for instance, need food-safe steel, and that was kind of an issue in 2018, that could U.S. steel manufacturers keep up with the demand for steel, including the specialty food-safe steel. Is food-safe steel more of an unusual steel product in the U.S.?
Well, you know, I'm not real well versed on the steel industry as far as food related products, but just speaking in generalities, you know, I think the goal here is to get America back to making the products that America needs and not be self-reliant on foreign produced products in this country. You know, we were once the great manufacturer of everything, and we've just fallen so far behind. You know, so I think, you know, from what I hear from President Trump is that he you know, his catchphrase, well, let's make America great again, right? So if that's the case, then we do have to make a push to get our companies making all these products that we rely on. Otherwise, we're always going to be reliant on foreign manufacturers for the goods and needs of our country, and that's not a good place to be.
Granite City Mayor Mike Parkinson with us. And I just want, I wonder, just from a, you know, really stepping back and looking at it, we in this country like to make sure our workers are taken care of, that they do get compensated well, that they have benefits, that they work in a safe environment. I'm wondering if it's even possible to have industries where you have well-paid workers and then also make steel or make products that are relatively inexpensive, which is, again, why some of these you know, companies use steel from somewhere else, because maybe their environments aren't very safe. They're not paying their workers very much. So, like, how do we make that happen where we can still pay our people well, but then also have a product to sell that is relatively inexpensive and doesn't drive up costs for everyone else?
So I don't think the problem's with the United States on that issue. I think the problem is with these foreign countries that are not living up to the standards that we should hold them to on safety aspects for their workers, for fair living wages, for the environment. You know, we hold ourselves to a higher standard in the United States when it comes to those things with pollution and the ozone and, you know, fair working labor wages for our workers, for health care, for all the basic necessities that human rights should give people. I don't think we see that in a lot of these other countries. And maybe it's time that you know, that our allies stand together and start demanding that, you know, these countries treat their citizens better, and that they also do their part for the environment in the world. And, you know, you just look at the oceans, for example, and the trash that gets dumped in the oceans from some of these other countries, because they're not regulating the way they should. So, you know, maybe the approach is to just get with our allies and say, look, we got to make these countries that are doing things so cheaply because they're not paying living wages and they're not living up to our standards, we got to start making them do that, or we just hit them with large, large tariffs where they can't sell their products.
Yeah, that's, I mean, on its surface, that I completely agree with you. I just think I would be concerned about getting them to actually do it, right? I mean, it's, well, you're yeah. right, you're right. It should be a, everybody is in a good, safe working environment where they are well compensated and they don't have to work 21-hour days. But getting other countries to go along with that, I think, would be really tough.
But so, I think the line in the sand that the president is drawing with tariffs is just that, right? So he's starting with tariffs and saying, look, your tariff policy is not fair for us. So we're going to hit you with what you hit us with. So then, you know, if they start complying with those types of demands, then, you know, you come back to them and you say the same thing. Well, if you're not going to hold, if you're not going to provide your workers with safe working environments that are just the bare necessities that people should have, then we're going to hold you accountable for that. And we'll put a tariff on your properties again, or on your production again, until you comply with that. I mean, I think he's on the right track. We have to get everybody on the same playing field and have to be held to the same environmental standards and fair labor practices. And, you know, you hear all the stories of these foreign countries that have children working in these factories and, you know, the mines in other countries where they don't have safe air to breathe while they're in these mines. You hear all these things. We should be doing better as the leader of the free world and enforcing these basic rights for people throughout the world.
I agree with you. One thing we can all do is stop using smartphones, because every single one of these is made in a bad environment, which we're not going to give them up because we're Americans. All right, Mike Parkinson, we'll continue to check in with you on this. Thank you for giving us time today and keeping us updated as to where we stand now.
Always a pleasure, Chris and Amy. Thank you.
Mike Parkinson, the mayor of Granite City, with us.
All right. And I obviously looking into steel and tariffs more than I ever have before. A little bit of a question. Why would Canadian steel be cheaper? Because I know Canada has strong unions. You know, Canada would be, their working conditions would be more like unions in the U.S. Canada doesn't have child labor.
Amy,
I know.
Dude, don't ask these questions.
Because our number one importer, you know, of steel, exporters to the U.S., I should say.
Okay,
is
I don't
Canada.
Need you. I don't need you just raising
you
more questions.
And
we have
what?
To go to break. I have to give away tickets.
We're the number one exporter to Canada.
Stop
this
doing this. Pair of tickets to give away to see the Doobie Brothers September 4th at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. That is your time right now. Do it. 314-955-1120. We need caller number 5. 314-955-1120. Good luck to you. Congratulations, Kevin, in St. Charles. How come when I say the name Kevin, I'm going, Kevin.
Kevin.
Way to go, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin in St. Charles won the tickets to see the Doobie Brothers.
The Doobs.
The Doobie and the Coral Reefer Band.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? The Coral Reefer Band. That is the Jimmy Buffett Band. So that's going to be fun. If you missed out today, we're going to do it again tomorrow and Friday. So don't freak out. You still have opportunities to win. Always chances to win something on this show, Amy. Did you figure out this Canadian steel thing?
Well, like you said, if they are not doing the entire process start to finish, maybe they're getting cheaper steel from somewhere, and then they're just, you know, polishing it up, putting a spit shine on it before they sell it to the U.S. But, I mean, they do have plants as well. So, no, the answer is no, I haven't completely figured it out. And what's also incredible is that we are, each of us, the United States and Canada, sending enormous amounts of steel back and forth to each other, which I feel like...
Yeah, it's in the car making process.
Yeah.
Something gets made, shipped overseas, sent back here, refitted again, and then sent back. It's like a whole thing.
I think we should do a steel 101 class. Like, how many start to finish steel plants are there in the U.S., right? That's Granite City. They do the whole kit and caboodle there, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing in Canada? And if that's our number one exported to the United States, why is it so much cheaper? Is it so much cheaper?
By the way, Mayor Parkinson from Granite City, who we just spoke to. So if you missed the interview, it'll be on the Odyssey app. Go back and listen to it. He referenced David Burritt, who is the CEO of U.S. Steel. He referenced him several times. I got the impression he wasn't a big fan. Burritt is from St. Louis. Oh. He grew up here, went to Bradley.
Oh, there you go.
And also University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
Excellent.
But Bradley was our rival college.
Yeah.
Illinois State. I don't know about this David Burritt guy.
You're going to watch the Mizzou game tonight? Mizzou's taking on Oklahoma in Columbia.
That's a big one.
It's a really big one. Mizzou had a couple tough losses. They've dropped down to 21.
Still in the top 25.
They're still in the top 25.
But again, they have, I think, unless they just completely fall apart here in the last few weeks, they have probably the resume to get in even if they don't win the conference tournament. So I think they're a tournament team. They beat two top five teams this year.
Next month.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. As I said, anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. You have got to go back and get it. Listen, because we are so good, right, Amy?
It's unbelievable.
We're going to be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Major Garrett, among other things, will be on the show. We love you very much. See you at 10. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Here comes the Dave Glover Show.